Stay tuned after the show for a message from Chevron.
Well, let's the way in is then through Holland then. So you mentioned previously the Dakota Access Pipeline. The fight over that is continuing even as we wait for Biden's cabinet to be confirmed. What are the latest developments in that area?
Oh, no. Give me one second. I got to tell my kids to shut up. I can't even hear you. Hold on. You guys, quiet.
I'm Anthony Adragna. This is Politico Energy. And today, Ben Lefebvre.
I believe you have a filter turned on in the video settings.
I'm live. I'm not a cat.
I'm here live. I'm not a cat.
I can see that.
I'm going to keep saying that. I'm sorry.
On the tough road ahead for Joe Biden's pick for the Interior Department. It's Wednesday, February 10th. So we don't have a hearing date for Congresswoman Deb Haaland, who's Biden's pick to lead the Interior Department, but already we're seeing some rumblings from Republicans who sound like they're going to oppose her nomination. Who are some of the Republicans that have spoken out so far?
Montana Republican Steve Daines, Wyoming Republican John Barrasso, a few others. Mainly the through line is if the Republican lawmakers from energy or fossil fuel producing states.
And why are they... what are they giving as their reasons for opposing somebody? It's pretty unusual to come out against a nomination or strongly suggest you're going to vote against a nomination before a confirmation hearing, let alone before a confirmation hearing has been scheduled.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I mean, Representative Haaland, who's the nominee for Interior, she's been in Congress for a little while, and she was a member of the House Natural Resources Committee. But the Republicans are taking issue with what they are calling her radical, you know, resentment against fossil fuels. It's strikingly strong language, as you mentioned, to come for a nominee that's not even been at a hearing yet. It's also striking that, I mean, as far as we can tell, unless the name of all names this so far in this administration, Senator Joe Manchin on the Energy and Natural Resources Committee decides that he is not going to vote against her, she's pretty much, I would guess, a lock to get the position.
Do you want to tell us a little bit more about Congresswoman Haaland's record, her support of the Green New Deal, her part of being part of the Progressive Caucus? Why do you think Republicans are so up in arms about her?
Well, she's one of the lawmakers, I mean, who actually attended the protest against the Dakota Access Pipeline in North Dakota years ago. She's come out against, you know, the continued expansion of fossil fuel development in the U.S., but she's also pushing the idea that the federal government has a part to play to expand electric transmission corridors. You know, if you're in Wyoming, you know, you could produce a lot of wind power, but where are you going to send it if the lines aren't there? Well, you could send it to California, or you could send it to other states who would be happy to have that source of electricity. So she seems to, you know, she's saying basically she's for energy development, just not for the continued development of fossil fuels.
Well, and I think that's what kind of makes this whole situation a little unusual, at least from my perspective. Usually you afford the nominee a chance to kind of directly respond to some of these criticisms. And so to see people coming out ahead of the hearing even is unusual. How does this compare to some of the other energy and environment picks that we've been covering, Michael Regan at EPA and Jennifer Granholm at DOE?
Haaland seems to be garnering the most intense criticisms. She's a radical. We can't deal with her. And, you know, some of it makes you wonder. She's also the first Native American nominee to come up for any kind of cabinet position. So GOP senators have been sticking with the line that she's a environmental radical, but I mean, she so far her big radical, you know, ideas, I guess, were opposing the Keystone XL pipeline, which, you know, is not anything Interior would have anything to do with anyway. And, you know, maybe the, you know, Dakota Access Pipeline, which she did, you know, take part in protesting. But again, that's, you know, what does that got to do with Wyoming per se? So it's a little bit odd in the intensity of the criticism and the doing it before she's even had a hearing.
How unusual would it be to shut down a currently active pipeline? I admit, when I first heard of this possibility, I sort of went, that strikes me as extraordinarily unlikely to shut down a working pipeline. But does that happen?
It doesn't, not often enough that I've picked up on it. But if that's what happens next, if the Biden administration does order a shutdown of the pipeline, I mean, I would think there's going to be more yelling and screaming than even from the Keystone XL reaction, just because it is a working pipeline. Having said that, this is one of those things where, to a certain extent, you can only really blame the Trump administration for yet another example of what's been a well-documented trend of issuing permits first, then asking questions later.
And while Holland's confirmation is still on pause, Michael Regan breezed through his committee vote yesterday and appears on track to be confirmed as EPA administrator. On Tuesday, the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee passed Regan's nomination in a 14-6 vote, a vote where many Republicans praised him for his work as North Carolina's environmental official, but they still voted against him in protest of Biden's environmental agenda. One of these Republicans is West Virginia's Shelley Moore Capito, who said she fears President Biden's domestic climate advisor, Gina McCarthy, will be running the agency instead of Regan. Next, Regan's nomination is headed for a full Senate vote, but it's unclear when that will happen because of former President Donald Trump's impeachment trial. If you like our show, then like it. Give us 5 stars and a review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our newsletter at politico.com/morningenergy. And for your daily fix on the Biden administration, Congress, and power in 2021, subscribe to Politico Playbook, the unofficial guide to official Washington, on politico.com/playbook. I'm Anthony Dragna. Talk to you again tomorrow.
Last year, Chevron invested billions of dollars to bring affordable, reliable, ever cleaner energy to America. Because it's only human to work toward a brighter future. Learn more at chevron.com.